If you would, take your Bibles and go to the Gospel of John, John chapter 14. Today's Sunday, March the 12th, 2023. We're going to begin in John chapter 14. God desires for us to live in peace. And so this morning, how can we have God's peace in our lives? In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus Christ said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know, we're living in days where there's a lot of chaos in the world. And, you know, we hear disturbing things that can cause anxiety, a lot of emotional responses. Add to that things that we need to deal with in our own personal lives, and sometimes unpleasant things we need to deal with in our personal lives. But God does not want anything to rob us of our peace. God wants us to live with peace. And if you go to the Gospel of Mark, there's this record of Jesus Christ on the boat that kind of shows the difference between peace and chaos. Mark chapter 4. This kind of shows the contrast between all the chaos and peace. In Mark chapter 4, they're on the boat. Verse 37 says, "There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full," or literally filling. "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? We're going to die. And he arose and rebuked the wind." And I like this. "He said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." So the great calm, the great peace there, in contrast to, you know, this gigantic wind and the water filling up the boat. And then he said unto him, verse 40, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Peace is freedom from disturbance. It's tranquility. It's what that water was like after Jesus Christ said, "Peace, be still." It was all calm. The opposite of peace is turmoil, discord, contention, unrest, upheaval, and especially stress. And that can come from stuff in the world going on that we hear about. It can also come from personal things that we deal with. And I think you probably know, but it's been proven that stress will lower your immune system. No wonder God wants us to live with peace. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus Christ said, this is the end of John chapter 16, "These things," John 16:33, "these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In me you might have peace." And you know, as a born-again one, God's word says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. We can have peace regardless of what's going on. Isaiah 26, Dave quoted that earlier. Glad we sang that song, Peace, Peace, Wonderful Peace. But let's just look at that verse. Most of us probably know it by heart. Isaiah chapter 26. It's a great verse. Isaiah 26, 3. Thou, meaning God, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So perfect peace is available for us. God will keep us in perfect peace, but it's not automatic, is it? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Mind, our thoughts. When we put our thoughts on him, then God will give us that peace that we need. And go to Psalm 4, if you would. There's lots of verses in the Bible about peace. Might be fun to do a big exhaustive word study sometime. But it's good to remind ourselves that there is peace available. In the world you will have tribulation, Jesus Christ said. But God has promised to give us peace. I will give you perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. In Psalm 4, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. That doesn't sound like be stressed. Laying in my bed stressed, I'm thinking about this and then what about that? And no. We don't want to do that. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Boy, it's God that can give us his peace so that we don't lay down and stress about this and stress about that. We can put our trust in God. Another Psalm, Psalm 29, if you'd look at that. I suppose we could have just read Isaiah 26, 3, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. God bless. End of the teaching. I mean, that kind of says it all, doesn't it? Psalm 29, and look at verse 11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. God wants us to live with peace. He's a faithful God to give us peace. You know, last week we were talking about God's promises, if you were here, and keeping our eyes on God. We were looking at that record with Jehoshaphat, I don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Our eyes upon God, our provider, our protector, our healer, the God of all grace and mercy, our delivering God, keeping our eyes on God. You know, whether it's what we see going on in the world or something personal, you know, there are times that it's like, I can't handle this anymore. I can't. This is too big. I don't know. In fact, I don't even know what to do about it. Well, we can keep our eyes on our God and pray. Romans chapter 8. It is not God's will for us to live with fear, anxiety, stress, all of that. That's not coming from our God. That's for sure. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption," or sonship spirit, "whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." The spirit we've gotten, that God gave us, is not a bondage spirit so that we're full of fear, but it's a sonship spirit that makes us children of God. And if you put that together with 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, another familiar verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Having fear, anxiety, stress is not God's will for our lives at all. God wants us to have peace. And you probably know this, but every single church epistle, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, every single one, as well as Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and the epistles of Peter, every single one of them begin with "grace and peace unto you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Every single one of them. And even the pastoral epistles. I mean, look at, since we're already here in 2 Timothy 1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God," verse 1, "according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." Isn't that interesting that God opens every epistle to the born-again ones with "grace and peace to you"? God wants us to have peace. In fact, look at 2 Peter chapter 1. It's a little more, a little bigger grace and peace. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, "grace and peace be multiplied unto you." Wow. "Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Who would not want grace and peace multiplied unto them? Grace is divine favor. Hey, would you like more divine favor? No, I've had plenty. I don't need any more. Grace and peace multiplied, how? "Through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord." And, you know, as you know, God will not make us believe anything. He gave us free will. And God certainly won't make us think the right thoughts that we need to think. We have free will to think whatever we want to think. And you know, there's plenty of verses in the Bible about controlling our thinking, controlling our minds. "Lead every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Set your thoughts on things above, not on things of the earth. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Casting down imaginations and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. "Be anxious for nothing. Fear not. Be not afraid." So there's plenty of verses that God has put in his word to encourage us to control our thinking, our thoughts. And, you know, when everything's going great, it's easy, right, to say, "Praise the Lord, God is good. Yep, I'm enjoying life. Everything's great." But when we hear of scary things in the world, disgusting things going on in the world, or personal crisis comes up, then it becomes a choice to pray and keep our eyes on Him and trust Him completely. Remind ourselves of what He said and choose to believe Him. It's not the will of God for us to live with fear, anxiety, stress, worry, but rather peace. And Philippians chapter 4 shows us how to get to that peace. Philippians chapter 4. You probably know where we're going. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Careful is that word anxious that means to be mentally distracted, have worry, have fear, anxiety. That's the opposite of peace. It's the total opposite. And Jesus Christ said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And we read a few minutes ago in Isaiah that God will keep us in perfect peace if our mind is stayed on Him. So instead of being anxious, what does God tell us to do? Pray. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It's a choice to pray or worry. One brings you to peace, the other brings you to stress and anxiety and fear. It's our choice to pray or worry. And then notice there in verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You know, it's real easy to rattle off all the negatives, right? You know, all the things that are wrong, it's real easy to rattle that stuff off. But do we have anything to be thankful for? I mean, basics, food. We have food. We have shelter. Has God ever protected you before? Has God ever healed you before? How many times has God blessed us? So here in telling us to not be anxious, but to go to God in prayer with our request with thanksgiving. Part of our keeping, part of keeping our eyes on Him is remembering what He's already done for us and thanking Him for His blessings. You know, when you do that consistently, thanking God, making it kind of a habit, a lifestyle of giving God the thanks that He so deserves, it really gets rid of the anxiety and the fear. It increases your trust in God big time. Because if He did this, He did this, He did this. I got this situation now. Okay. God's been faithful to take care of me. He's blessed me. He's protected me. He's healed me. And so, again, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Tell Him what you need. And look at the result. Verse 7. Isn't this beautiful? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? So God wants us to have peace. And in those times when it's very easy to be anxious, to be stressful, to be fearful, God says, hey, time out. Wait a minute. Don't go that route. Do this route. Pray. Let your requests be made known unto God. Let your prayers and supplications with thanksgiving be made known unto God. And the peace of God that guards your heart and minds. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. It's the opposite to anxiety, worry, and fears. Peace is freedom from disruption, it's tranquility. Also look at Colossians chapter 3. You know, Philippians is a reproof epistle, right? Mm-hmm. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, it's a reproof epistle. Colossians is correction. And in verse 15, 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You know, Philippians showed how to let God's peace rule in your hearts, right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding. Here it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are called in one body, and be thankful. There's that thankful coming up again, right? And it's not automatic, is it? Doggone it. Let the peace of God rule where? In our hearts, thoughts, our minds. Remember, we read Jesus Christ said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's not automatic that we can let the peace of God rule. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. This is the big, I don't know what to call it. This is what we work on. Our head, our mind, our thoughts. Where are they going? Let not your heart be troubled. Yeah, but don't let your heart get all disturbed. Be anxious for nothing. Keep going to God in prayer. Maybe I got to go to God in prayer every 5 minutes to get settled down. Well, do it. And then, verse 16, let the word of Christ, or the word which pertains to Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word, that word that pertains to Christ, boy, that'd be seven church epistle stuff, right? And again, let the word of Christ dwell in you. That's not automatic either, is it? You can't take a thumb drive with all of God's word and stick it in your ear somewhere, and you've downloaded it. Now it's dwelling in my head. Takes effort, takes time, but has great rewards. So we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, and then, of course, pray, which we saw in Philippians. But let's look at Hebrews before we close here. Hebrews chapter 4, speaking of prayer. See, maybe that's why we kind of have a habit where if we talk to somebody on the phone, you know, where there's a situation that came up and they just called and said, hey, you know, this is going on. And it's like we go, well, let's pray. You know, or if you're talking to somebody and they go, yeah, this happened, this would, well, let's pray. That's a good thing to do. That's what God's word says to do. Just stop and pray. And this is such a beautiful verse in Hebrews chapter 4, last verse. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The word boldly is a word that means freedom of speech, holding nothing back, sharing it fully. So we come to the throne of grace. It's not a literal place, but whenever we pray, we're there at the throne room of grace. No invitation needed, no door to knock. We're just there in his presence. And we speak with boldness. We lay it all out. Whether we feel crappy or not, it's just, God, here I am. This is what I gotta bring before you. I ain't happy about it. But I did want to thank you for about 5,000 other things, but I have this, you know, we pray with thanksgiving, but we come boldly to the throne of grace. It's a throne room of grace. For what reason? That we may obtain mercy. We always need mercy because nobody lives perfectly, do they? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're looking for divine favor in time of need. That's why we go to that wonderful throne room of grace. We're going to go and close where we started in John chapter 14. Gospel of John chapter 14. Isn't it wonderful that God gave us his word? So much great practical stuff for living life. Because life gets ugly sometimes. It's not always a bed of roses. It's not always sunshine, and things come up in life. Because there's an adversary. There's a God of this world. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's a day coming when we win, he loses. We're not there yet. But isn't it wonderful that God not only gave us eternal life, promised that Christ is coming back, we will be gathered together with him, and then God didn't go, so hang on, let's try to deal with it, but gave us his gift of Holy Spirit, where we have spiritual power that we can operate, gave us his word with so much practical stuff. Because some people are just hanging on, but we're not hanging on, we're hanging out with our Father in the throne room. And like Jesus taught that parable, we ought to always pray and not faint. We just keep praying, and we just keep praying. So, in conclusion here, we pray, and we keep our eyes on him. So, that, you know, it's kind of a neat phrase, keep your eyes on God. Why? Where is he? Can you see him? Figuratively, right? Keep our eyes on him. We keep our eyes on him by reminding ourselves of his words, his promises. We keep our eyes on him by expecting his help, by giving him the thanks for what he's already done for us. In John 14, verse 27, I think, one of the things Jesus Christ said at the Last Supper that's recorded, there's a lot that he said. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at some different things from the Last Supper, starting next week. But he said, peace. We're in John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. That word troubled means dismayed, restless, full of anxiety. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The opposite of being troubled and afraid is peace. God's peace. God wants us to live with peace. So let the peace of God rule in your heart. It takes effort. Let the word of Christ dwell in your heart. That takes effort. And pray lots. And that takes effort too. But no matter what's going on, God wants us to live with peace. So shall we pray? Almighty God, our wonderful, gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for all that you've done for us individually and collectively. We're so grateful to be a part of the body of Christ and this wonderful family that we belong to, that we will all in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, be gone from this place when you send your son back. But until then, Father, you've not left us helpless and you've not left us hopeless. And we just thank you for giving us your word, for the Spirit of God that's in us, and for your many precious promises. As it says in Peter, exceeding great and precious promises, that by those we could be partakers of the divine nature. Father, I pray that we can just remember when stuff gets hard to handle, that we can just stop and just do what you reminded us to do. Control our thinking, pray with thanksgiving, and allow your peace to be in our hearts and minds. I pray, Father, for everyone here today, for those that couldn't make it. I pray for those who are on the hookup to bless everyone's life. And Father, to provide all that we need, because you are a God that provides, protects, a God that heals. I pray also for the Walking in God's Power foundational class going on over in Scottsdale this weekend and next weekend, to bless everyone there. I pray, Father, for the advanced class that we will be starting next week here. Thanks for the great privilege and blessing it is to learn more of your wonderful word, to the end, Father, that we believe it. So thank you for a great week ahead. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.